We all agree that the humanity of preborn children is central to the conversation about abortion. So why not start there? Today's episode is all about why we should be starting with circumstances and justifications for abortion rather than starting with the humanity of the preborn child. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. What a joy to be back with you. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Thank you to all of you who are tuning in, whether it is your first episode or a longtime episode listener. It has been a blast. This is episode 180. We have done 180 of these episodes, not even including our Humans of the Pro-Life Movement or way back when we used to do the Pulse news episodes. We have done well over 200. We're almost at 250 episodes all said and done. That is absolutely wild. I don't know if anybody still listening has listened to all of them. If you have, then you are an absolute champion. Today, we're talking about the roadmap for having good conversations, and we're talking about why we want to be starting with addressing the justifications that people bring forward. Huge shout out to Adelaide and the entire team at Protect Life Michigan. We recently featured Adelaide as one of our Humans of the Pro-Life Movement. She was an absolute gem, and she and the rest of the team at Protect Life Michigan spent a bunch of time talking about the pros and cons of the roadmap that I talk about. And she actually came up and spent a couple days here in the Calgary office, more than a couple days, almost an entire week with me here in the office, working with myself and a few other Calgary colleagues, talking through apologetics questions, concerns, ideas that she and the rest of the team had at Protect Life Michigan. They are absolute winners down there in Michigan. Huge shout out to them. And thank you for the idea behind this show, a bit more of a conversation around why to start conversations with, rather than the humanity of preborn children, the justifications around abortion. And why this is even a tension is because, as many of us know, and as I mentioned off the introduction, we understand that the humanity of preborn children is central to the morality of abortion and the abortion conversation as a whole, right? We've said a number of times on the podcast, alluding to the fact that if abortion does not kill an innocent living member of the human family, then no justification for abortion is necessary. If abortion doesn't kill innocent humans, then it is not the injustice that pro-lifers make it out to be. And we are a bunch of pricks for trying to take away a woman's right to control her own body if there isn't another body there. And there's a growing number of jerks because there are more and more people growing and joining the pro-life movement. And so there's a major problem if abortion does not kill an innocent living human. On the flip side, if abortion does directly and intentionally end the life of an innocent living human, then no justification for abortion is adequate. We can never justify directly and intentionally killing an innocent human to solve even the most challenging of problems. And so, on one hand, we have a growing number of jerks. On the other hand, we have what many could very easily characterize as genocide. We have a massive problem in front of us, and that's why there is no real gray area on this. I speak often with people about how it does not make sense to be supportive of abortion in some cases and reject abortion in other cases. I find it fascinating, and I mine very deeply when somebody says, well, I don't think that abortion should be allowed for birth control, but if the mom's in XYZ situation, it should be allowed. I can understand the people who say that abortion should always be allowed or always be allowed to a particular point. And I can understand, obviously, and I agree with the people who say that abortion should never be allowed because either they're human or they're not. And so with all of this talk about whether or not they're human and how paramount the answer to that question is, I got a bunch of questions, particularly from many friends within the movement, about why not start our roadmap for effective conversations with the humanity of preborn children. Why not ensure that everybody that we talk to recognizes and realizes the humanity of the preborn child, and they are forced to fit the rest of their worldview around that information. Well, I want to share two particular factors that have contributed towards why I think that we should almost always, if not always, be starting with the justifications for abortion. And as a quick aside, quick shout out to my colleague, Kyle Coffey, who runs our Manitoba initiative. Kyle is an absolute maniac when it comes to asking great questions and having great conversations. I chat with him, if not every week, every 2 weeks, sometimes twice every week, because he and I are working on some public speaking development. Kyle's an absolute beauty out there. And he was asking me recently about why I say justifications and not just circumstances. And I can't say that I have a fantastic reason. It was honestly because when I'm looking at the reasons why people support abortion or the reasons why people adopt the pro-abortion worldview, the majority of them are circumstances that surround pregnancy, challenging situations that a mother or and or father may be involved with. But then there's also the factor of bodily autonomy. And bodily autonomy obviously comes up very frequently in conversation. And in many ways, it can be bundled with the other circumstances, but bodily autonomy itself is not a circumstance. It is a philosophical justification. And there's a few other philosophical justifications that are not pure social circumstances that surround mothers and fathers. And so we broadened it to call it justifications for abortion. And so I want to get into two prevailing reasons as to why I think that it is important to always start by addressing the reasons why people support abortion and then move towards the humanity of the preborn child. And then, if necessary, drop down and talk about the personhood of preborn children rather than shortcutting to one or the other of those before we get to the pro-life worldview. And the first reason is because based on my experience of thousands of conversations and the shared experience of dozens and hundreds of other CCBR interns and staff and volunteers and members of other pro-life organizations, what I have found time and time again is that the overwhelming majority of people support abortion because of hard circumstances. That is where their brain and their heart go to when they consider the issue of abortion. Because of that, I want to meet them where they're at. Because while the burden of proof might weigh upon their shoulders and all this wonderful stuff that we might learn in our logic classes that we are yet taking as pro-lifers, the vast majority of people that we talk to aren't there. And so they're not going to track with us if we're not meeting them where they're at. They need to have their concerns addressed because they're not at times even listening to us until we get there. They might say, sure. I will, on the surface, agree with all of your humanity, but it's kind of in one ear and out the other until you address my concerns about this justification. I think often as to the violinist argument. So often we talk about the violinist and how it apparently concedes the humanity of the preborn and gets towards the justification of bodily autonomy. And I find that I encounter that time and time again, that the humanity is accidental to the urgency of the situation that the person is bringing forward as they consider the pregnant mother and the parents involved in that situation. And so I literally just find it very ineffective with regards to actually building any kind of resonance. And often I also find it very inefficient. Because I end up, if I were to, and I have done this on a number of occasions, and so I definitely appreciate the approach. I've definitely gone there hundreds of times myself, starting with the humanity of preborn children. I find that so often I'm talking through the humanity only to realize that their actual worldview is underpinned by circumstantial support for abortion. I go back in time in some ways, I address the justification. And I feel like I have to recount and rebuild the humanity anyways. And like, didn't we talk about this? Didn't we start the conversation by talking about this? And it has dawned on me over and over again that it is honestly in one ear and out the other because they're saying one thing, but they're clinging to another thing. And I find this not only when they bring up circumstance, not only when somebody says, you know, I think that abortion should be allowed for a mother who is a victim of sexual assault. Not only in those cases do I think that it would be inappropriate to go directly towards the humanity of the preborn child and respond with, I hear where you're coming from. Could we agree that all humans get human rights? If something is growing, even from one cell to two cells to four cells, isn't it alive? If that living organism has human parents, isn't he or she a living human? And doesn't that make abortion a human rights violation? Not only does that not address their concern, so they could agree with all of those points and then reject the conclusion because they say, but you haven't addressed my concern. Even if the conversation starts under the pretense of biology, what do you think about abortion? Oh, well, it's just an embryo. They say that, and it sounds like they're making a humanity argument. And so I'm tempted to dive in and say either something along the lines of, well, what kind of embryo? Or even more structurally, could we agree that all living humans get human rights, blah, 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 the four human rights questions that I just outlined? I find it interesting if I were to mine deeper and say, oh, okay. And so you would say that after the embryonic stage of pregnancy, that abortion is no longer appropriate, including for victims of sexual assault. If I were to ask that question, which I have done on a number of occasions, very often they would say, well, no, in that case, they should still be allowed to have an abortion. If it's a victim of sexual assault, they should still be allowed to have an abortion. Or it's just a clump of cells. Somebody says that to me again, it's under the pretense of a biology, a humanity challenge. If I were to take the bait and go to the humanity and say, oh, would you agree then that once we have defined human characteristics and it's no longer a quote unquote blob of cells, then abortion would no longer be appropriate even in cases of sexual assault? The vast majority of people that I have spoken to, and I would hazard a guess to suggest the people that you've spoken to as well, would very likely waffle on that too. Well, no, that mom should still be allowed to have access to abortion if that's the circumstance that she is faced with. Very frequently, people will adjust their timelines as we mine deeper because the timeline is not actually what they care about. If somebody says to me, well, they don't even have a heartbeat, and if I pursue that notion that aligns, in my opinion, with the personhood argument, and I were to say, why don't they have a heartbeat? Well, it's because of how old they are. And so we're saying that this is age-based discrimination. If I were to press them on, what if I told you that we had an independent pulse at 20 days after fertilization and that most mothers don't even know that they're pregnant? And so would you say that if a mother finds out that she's pregnant at 6 weeks, long after a heartbeat has been established, she should not be allowed to have an abortion? Well, no, it's not actually about the heartbeat. I mean, what about brainwaves? It's actually about brainwaves. Okay, well, what if I told you the brainwaves started much earlier? Would you again be opposed to abortion after that? And what I find when I mine into their humanity or even personhood, if they bring up consciousness, if in theory, and it is biologically inaccurate, but if philosophically we had consciousness at the moment of fertilization, would you then be opposed to abortion in all situations from the moment of fertilization? And I think that you may be surprised by how many people will say no, that it's not actually about the biological question they have brought forward. Neither is it about the philosophical statement of personhood or the timeline of development that they have brought forward, but rather what they're getting at is a skewed and warped and inverted in some ways notion of a money-back guarantee or a warranty. What do I mean by that? We have become accustomed in contemporary culture to having a period of time in which we can gauge our satisfaction, our comfort, our agreement with something and be able to return it. If I go to drop a bunch of money on a product, there's often a warranty. If you are not satisfied with this product, there's a full money-back guarantee. At Amazon, you can return something often if you're simply not happy with it. If you realize that you have overcommitted yourself financially and you know what, I don't want this anymore, I can return this. You might not be able to return it on Boxing Day, but you can return it on almost every other day. And I feel like in some ways that's what people are getting at with their worldview around abortion, that they want some vaguely undefined amount of time that maybe they'll latch on to brainwaves or consciousness or a heartbeat or the embryonic stage or something. They want some period of time during which a mother can get a money-back guarantee that, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to go through with this. I don't want this commitment. Therefore, I'm allowed to say, get on a jail-free card or return this product. Because not to say that we've adopted that mentality because of the commercialization and how our marketing industry has gone, but I think that there's something eerily similar to that. That what people are getting at is the circumstances, that the humanity and philosophical components are often very much tied to simply wanting a window of time that if a mother's situation changes, or if upon reflecting further upon her situation, she realizes that she is not in the position to provide a high quality of life, or she's not willing to sacrifice her own quality of life, that she should be allowed to have some opportunity to get out of that scenario. That's the first reason why I think the vast majority of conversations should start with addressing the justification, because I think that's where a lot of people's hearts are at. It might not be where their head is at. It might not be the first argument that they bring forward, but I think that it is very frequently the most important issue for them. And if we drive at why does consciousness matter? Like, why do you care about having that window? It's often a matter of because women need that window of time to be able to have further discernment. They probably won't use the word discernment, but for lack of a better word, that's what they're looking for. The second reason that I want to start with the justification or circumstances that they have brought forward is because if you had a room full of abortion advocates and you were to ask them to list as rank with the biggest problem and the second biggest problem with pro-lifers, do you think the biggest problem with pro-lifers is that they don't know what they're talking about or that they don't care about the people involved in abortion? Is this a matter of a lack of empathy or a lack of intelligence? You might get some tongue-in-cheek people that will want to say a lack of intelligence, but I think the vast majority of abortion-minded people will characterize and stereotype pro-lifers as people who have a lack of compassion, a lack of empathy, a lack of concern for the parents of that preborn child. And so what I want to do in bringing those two together, if I am able to, in every single situation, ensure that not only can I dispel that myth that I don't care, that I lack empathy or compassion for that mom and dad, whatever it may be in that situation, if I can not only dispel that myth, but also get at the heart of their concern, not only is it far more likely that my argument will resonate with them, not only is it far more likely that once I do get to the humanity of a preborn child, that they're genuinely listening and connecting with what I'm saying, because I have bridged the gap, because I have met them where they're at, I have acknowledged their concern, I have identified with the problems that they are seeing, acknowledged that they demand solutions, and then I've drawn them towards why, once having recognized the heart of their concern, the heart of the mother, I need to approach a solution that also acknowledges the heart of her preborn child, by way of metaphor, obviously. And I have witnessed tremendous success with that. And I have witnessed other people having tremendous success with that. I don't know if I can do a call to action for those who went down to Florida AAP this year. I was the principal trainer for our Florida mission trip earlier this February. I've shared a little bit about that already. And particularly the first week of our Florida mission trip, we had a number of people who were already active volunteers, many of whom had not at that point adopted the roadmap specifically. Many of them were very familiar with the principles of common ground analogy question, the human rights argument, and the human plus X. And so I wasn't actually presenting new content, but rather new structure. And many of them shared with me as the week progressed how well it actually influenced their conversations. People who had been having dozens, if not hundreds of conversations already before, who had already gained a high degree of confidence that it allowed them to get breakthroughs that at times they hadn't seen before. And so I think that that is honestly the best endorsement of it. People who are actively doing apologetics. I had a number of really great conversations with Adelaide and others about this as well. And so those are the two biggest reasons that in some ways I want to address their heart out of a genuine concern for them, because I believe that that is most effective. And through that effectiveness, I believe that it's also most efficient. That though I might need to go round and round again to demonstrate my empathy and concern for mothers, and I might have to go through that justification stage a number of times in a conversation, very rarely do I find that I need to retrace my steps for the humanity. And I actually end up saving myself time on the humanity once they recognize how deeply I care for them, for mothers in hard situations, for families struggling to make ends meet, all that kind of thing. And so I really want to do that. And I have witnessed that for myself and a number of other people, really opening the door for meaningful conversations that even at times may be significantly shorter because of that approach. That's what I've found. And that's what I hope and I pray you will find as well, that by launching into conversations, by mining these presenting responses, it's just an embryo, it doesn't even have a heartbeat, it doesn't this, doesn't that, rather than taking the bait on the humanity or the personhood, mine a little bit deeper with one or two questions about whether or not that applies to people in difficult circumstances, or whether those in difficult circumstances should be allowed access to abortion beyond that. Open up the conversation so that you can engage on that justification level, demonstrate your empathy, demonstrate your compassion, and confront them with your compassion before you confront them with your intelligence. In some ways, I genuinely think about it this way. If I can have them leave with only one thing, I would rather them leave with an understanding that pro-lifers genuinely care, that their stereotype of pro-lifers is inaccurate, then building into that stereotype of, well, sure, they spouted off a whole bunch of stuff about the humanity of the preborn child, but they didn't actually care, or they didn't address any of my concerns. Therefore, I'm not even going to think about the points that they bring forward. That's what I want to leave you with. Confront them with your charity and compassion before you challenge them with your intellect. All right. I hope that makes sense. Please do send me your questions, your concerns, any thoughts that you might have. Florida AAP people, if you have an endorsement, if you disagree with me, if you say, no, Cam, sorry, I tried your roadmap and it was terrible. Here's what I found. Please give me a shout on that. Please post that on the YouTube video. If you are somebody who has benefited from the roadmap and benefited from starting with the justification stage of the roadmap, please do throw that out there. Not for my sake, not to try to make me feel good, but rather to encourage and empower those who might be on the fence on this at this point. Please do drop that in the comment section, particularly on YouTube, if you wouldn't mind throwing that on YouTube. That really boosts the algorithm that people are engaging with the content. And so check that out. And last announcement, I've alluded to it a few times already. There will be a formal announcement tomorrow for this. I am hosting a Narnia book club. Narnia book club, we're going to read one book a month for the next 7 months. I would love to have you along for the ride. I love Narnia. I am not a Narnia professor or anything like that. Please don't come to this book club thinking that I'm going to unravel the mysteries of the universe with it. I just love the books and I think they're so much applicable, and I would love to get your thoughts and share some thoughts and all that kind of thing. Please do that. So in tomorrow for that exciting announcement and for how to register. And may God bless you abundantly, wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.